reading from 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 1 to 19. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you will have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then the 12, and after that to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, although some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then all of the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me also as one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and I do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, then how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, then we are found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those who have also fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we of all people are most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of death also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive.
Our reading from Paul's first letter was to the original messy church. The church at Corinth was a series of crises in human form, which Paul seeks to deal with in his letter to them. And the letter is an exercise in firefighting at different levels, and he perhaps leaves the most serious blaze to deal with until last. Yes, there are problems with how worship is conducted, the importance given to different spiritual gifts, relationship issues, leadership struggles. But here in chapter 15 of this letter, Paul addresses a core issue of Christian theology, a subject that has been dealt with in all the key Christian creeds and confessions in the centuries since. And unlike many of the other issues Paul deals with in this letter, here the Corinthians' salvation is at stake. The issue at hand is a faulty theology of the resurrection. What Paul says in chapter 15 is incredibly significant. J.B. Phillips, the 20th century biblical scholar, nominated 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as the Bible's most indispensable chapter. Paul begins by saying, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you." And Paul begins our reading by encouraging the Corinthians to remember. Remember. Remember what they first believed when they became Christians. Remember this, because it's only in believing what Paul first shared with them that they will continue in their faith. They need to remember the bodily resurrection of Jesus. And the bodily resurrection of Jesus is part of the core gospel message that Paul shared with the Corinthians, that Jesus died, was buried, was raised, and his resurrection was witnessed to by many people. Remember what I told you, Paul is writing. Remember the truth about the resurrection. If there is no resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. It seems, though, that some had forgotten what Paul had shared with them. But some had begun to deny, not necessarily that Jesus had been raised from the dead, but they deny that there would be a physical resurrection from the dead at the time of the new creation. And this echoed a common philosophical view in first century Corinth, that only the soul was immortal, that our physical nature was temporary. And this disconnection between body and soul in human nature was the common view of Paul's age. But the biblical worldview is that body and soul are one. This was the Jewish belief. And this Jewish belief was that there would be a resurrection of body and soul together at the end of the age. And some of the Corinthians had taken on board this Greek view and combined it with their young Christian faith. But this was something that needed to be corrected in their Christian belief. And they needed to come back to what Paul had taught them, that eternity would be spent in a physical, resurrected body. This also may be news to some of us. We will not be spending our eternal life as some free-form spirit on a cloud plucking at a harp. No, the promise of Scripture is that at some point in the future, all of those who are in Christ, when the new creation fully comes, we will be resurrected as fully corporeal beings and reside in that new creation for all eternity in our resurrection bodies. Some, it seems, in Corinth had stopped believing this. Paul writes quite bluntly by saying, if you don't believe in the physical resurrection of the dead at the time of the new creation, you're also denying that Jesus was physically raised from the dead. And if you don't believe this, you might as well not bother being a Christian at all. And Paul's being blunt because this is a serious error that some of these Corinthians are believing. And if they don't change the direction of their belief, this is going to have implications for their salvation. Without the resurrection, there would be no hope that Jesus would be Lord of all, deposing all powers and authorities, including death. There would be no point baptizing anyone, because as we thought about last week, in baptism you symbolize being joined with Jesus in his death by being lowered into the water and being joined with Jesus in his resurrection by coming out of the water. Without the hope of the resurrection, you might as well stayed under the water's surface. Personal sacrifice in the way of Christ in this life would be meaningless unless there is something better to hope for. Paul risking his life through shipwrecks, imprisonment, and wild animals. Why would he be doing that if there was not something better to be awaiting him? The resurrection means endless hope, not a hopeless end. The physical resurrection of Jesus is one of the core beliefs of the Christian faith. And for Paul, it was essential because without it, there is no gospel, no forgiveness of sins, no potential of life beyond death, basically no hope at all. Without the resurrection of the dead at the time of the new creation, the Christian faith is like whistling in the dark. Jesus being raised from the dead shows that death is defeated. And as death is the consequence of sin, it means that sin has also been defeated. But if we believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus, and if we believe in the general resurrection of all who follow Jesus at that great and glorious time in the future, if we believe this is the truth, then the wonder of the resurrection opens up the possibility of a new life in Christ. As Paul writes in Romans 10, verse 9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Paul says it is futile to try and be a follower of Jesus without the truth of the resurrection. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. Jesus' resurrection is just the start. Paul writes, Jesus' resurrection is the promise of our future resurrection. The word Paul uses to describe this starting point is first fruits. And in this word, he is linking his thinking to the first portion of the harvest that was offered to God at the Jewish Festival of Weeks, or Pentecost, as we tend to call it. The first bit of the harvest that promised of more to come. And just as the figure of Adam was representative of human sin affecting all, so Jesus' resurrection is representative of the resurrection being gifted to all who are his followers. Jesus' resurrection is the pledge of the full harvest to come. A series of events has been set in motion. Jesus' resurrection is the precursor to our resurrection. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, the Corinthians and we can know that we will be raised from the dead. God raised Jesus to herald the new creation. When we are raised, it will show that the new creation is fully here. The whole idea of resurrection can sound strange to our minds because it is not something that we experience in our lives day by day. The idea of resurrection to someone who is not a person of faith, especially Christian faith, can make them feel uncomfortable. So Christians can do all sorts of gymnastics with the words of the Bible, the language they use to try and make the resurrection become something more down to earth. However, by changing what you believe about the Christian faith in respect to the resurrection, it's not like pimping your car or upgrading your phone. What you're doing when you change what you mean by the resurrection is change all it promises and brings to the Christian story. And it will result in the Christian faith becoming not the Christian faith anymore. The Christian faith without the resurrection isn't like the latest model of your phone, an upgrade. But the Christian faith without the resurrection is a pale imitation that lacks substance. It's like a cheap knockoff watch. It's not the genuine article, and it's likely to break the first time you wear it. The resurrection was never supposed to be a down-to-earth moment. It was supposed to be an earth meets heaven moment. It was to be the one moment in the history of creation that was to show us what the new creation was going to be like. The one moment that produced a living memory of something still in the future that we could all inhabit and live through the power of the Spirit. The Corinthians tried to make the claims of Christianity fit with the prevailing winds of the day. And in doing so, they lost something in their faith. And we need to be careful that we don't do the same. There were dire consequences, potentially, for what the Corinthians were doing. They decided to become followers of Jesus on their own initiative. Paul's concern was that without the resurrection, what is the point of being a follower of Jesus? In the resurrection of Jesus, a new dawn has broken upon creation, and it is still breaking upon creation. It's a new dawn that will turn into the fullness of the new day at some point, but we're living now with only the first rays of the sun lighting our way. Paul says in his next letter to the church at Corinth, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. As followers of Jesus, our call is to live in the fullness of the new day, as if it has fully arrived in our lives. There should be a resounding chorus of joy that comes from our living that impacts people around us. The first rays of sun should be seen in our loving and living. Our lives are to reflect the values and virtues of the heavenly city that we're going to inhabit with God forever. The resurrection of the dead begins with the resurrection of God's image within our lives today, an image that will be fully restored by the master craftsman in the future. All through the centuries, there have been people whose lives have shown the dawn of the new day in their living. People like Augustine, whose life was changed and he gave Christianity a new way to relate to the world. Francis of Assisi, whose encounter with Jesus showed him how to love the world and to seek peace. William Wilberforce, who battled for years to bring down the slave trade in this country. Elizabeth Fry, who strived to bring reform to the prison system. Martin Luther King, who battled the injustice of racial segregation. Cicely Saunders, who founded the hospice movement. Les Isaacs, who began street pastors to combat the problems on the streets of South London. The new dawn shone through their lives. And there are so many others. Millions of sometimes nameless Christians who've let the dawn of the resurrection transform their living. People who are still pioneering new ways to bring the good news of the crucified and risen Jesus to the world in faithful action, faithful witness. People whose lives show that the new creation is dawned. Our whole lives as followers of Jesus should be shaped by the truth of the resurrection. Shaped and transformed by the wonder and hope that it brings. We need a resurrection perspective to life, where we look through the present situation to the hope that is beyond. Not ignoring the problems of the world, but seeking to help resolve them. To bring that future we hope for now, then, into a reality now. How can we show the dawn of the new creation in our communities? In Woodstock and around. What glimpse of the new creation do the people around us need to see in order for their lives to be transformed? What can we pioneer? What can we shine light into? Where can we bring hope in the midst of despair? We need our lives to be like this picture, where the dawn of the new day shines through and reveals our resurrected lives, where the old image of who we are is transformed into the new. The dawn of the new creation creating shadows that reflect what will be. We need to live in resurrection power, not be fueled by our own ambitions, not driven by our own understanding, but our reliance on the divine mystery that is revealed to us in Christ. We need to be fired by God's power of the new life that comes to us through the indwelling of Christ in the Spirit. We will show what we believe about the resurrection through how we live, through living in the light of the new dawn upon our lives. Let the words of Paul from his letter to the Philippians be made a reality in your life. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, become like him in his death, and so somehow attain to the resurrection from the dead. Let us pray. Christ has been raised. And we too will one day be raised. But Lord, in resurrection power, may we live the risen life today. Amen.